A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall, improvising to the music of the harp. Like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. Yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and the only ruler will make manifest at the proper time the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone was immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and to whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Christ was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Even dogs came to lick his sores. But when the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off with Lazarus at his side. He cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My father, remember that you received what was good in your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' Then he said, 'I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house where I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' But he said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, should someone come from the dead and goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, today in our gospel, we have the Ebenezer Scrooge, if you will, of Christendom, kind of that is mentioned here. And I've shared with you, of course, around Christmas time, that the Christmas Carol is my favorite story. It still is. I loved it as a boy. I have probably 8 or 9 versions of the movie, including the silent version from 1910 from Edison called Marley's Ghost. And the beautiful, the Mr. Magoo cartoon one where Judy Garland sings one of her last songs before she died. So I have various versions, and each version kind of takes a little bit their own liberty with the story. But I love the character Ebenezer Scrooge. I love that name too. The name is great. The names that Dickens uses in his stories are wonderful. You know, great writer like Shakespeare. You know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. You know, we all know that from the Tale of Two Cities. Or we can use the Sofia Petrillo Golden Girls Italian version when she grew up poor in Sicily. It was the worst of times. It was the worst of times. But anyway, Ebenezer Scrooge is a good character for each and every one of us, because we have all been him at one time in our life or another. Hopefully not stingy, hopefully not miserly, but sometimes we can be like Scrooge in our approach to things. And our world is becoming much like Scrooge these days. And if you notice in the gospel, notice one thing about the wording. The poor man is named Lazarus. The rich man doesn't have a name. He does not have a name. The Lord does not give him a name. And the gospel writer, Luke, does not give the rich man a name. But what we learn from that story, and we learn from A Christmas Carol, and that we can still learn very much to this day. Do you know in 1843 when that book was written, Christmas Carol, it's sad to say that Christmas had gone out of vogue in England and Victoria. Right at the time of Victorian England, there was a lot of unemployment. There was a lot of poverty. And Christmas had really gone out of vogue. But that story revived Christmas in a lot of ways. Now, as long as we have retailers here in the United States that need to make money, Christmas as a company knows it will never go out of vogue. But we need to know, and we need to always have the Christ child in our mind and in our midst. And so what also do we learn from the gospel today? What does it say to us in today's time? That it tells us that we need to live in the voice of God. And what does that mean? When we do that, we live for Christ. We live for God. We live for Christ. We live because we sacrifice when we repent. That's the most important thing, is sacrifice. And when we sacrifice, when we're sorry, God often responds to us with what? A miracle. A blunder. A blunder is followed by a wonder. Persist. Persist. Strive to help others, and do so with enthusiasm, fearlessness. And now that you are headed for the deep areas of faith and contact with a God of miracles. You know, when that story of A Christmas Carol begins, you see how dark it is, how dark Scrooge's house is. It's the old mansion, it's run down. He didn't do anything with it. He walks in that mansion with a single candle because he's so cheap. He won't have candles to light his house with one candle, trimming it as he goes, the story goes. But we don't want to be like that. Simply put, surrender. I like the word resignation. Have a resignation about you. Surrender, resignation. That does not mean, though, for us that we give up. It means surrender, in this case, means trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, says Psalm 3, verses 5 to 6. In all your ways acknowledge Christ, and Christ will set your paths right. He will set your path straight. In other words, Christ will communicate if you let go and go with Christ's flow. But how many times don't we want to go with Christ's flow? We want to go with our flow. And God, the God of miracles, is a God who will talk and will direct you. He chose the word. He spoke the world into existence. Meaning that he spoke and the word was made flesh when he sent his son. Any good thought we have is derived from him, from Christ. All the brilliant ideas, all the innovations that we have are derived from Christ. and he leads us to good. All the ways that we have evolved in a positive fashion were all whispered to us, originating in the Spirit. His communication with us is basically the soft touch of direction, the sensation of feeling right. Usually, he does so in a fashion that is exquisitely subtle. So subtle that it's hard to distinguish from our own thoughts. He plants ideas, and that we are free, we have that free will, we can choose to accept them or reject them. They are a spontaneous knowing. They are hunches or promptings, a feeling maybe. God infuses us with his knowledge aside from himself, aside from our very consciousness, aside from the very ways he holds things together. And you know what? That's his most common miracle. So then, what do we do? How do we deal with the flood of problems that we now know but would prefer not to know? How do we go forward? And the answer is simple, but it's also, though, difficult. We have to discover the suffering of the world in the heart of Jesus. There, when we face the heart of Jesus, there we can face it and stay alive. Apart from Jesus, the agonies of our world make us run away and hide. What has been going on, especially these last few weeks, when school started, the shooting at Annunciation School, you know, the shooting of this political figure, Charlie, what continues to go to take our focus away from goodness? We want to run away and hide. But when we are connected with Jesus, we can come to the recognition of all that we see, though painful. Charlie Kirk's wife uttered those three words. How difficult is that for us, that she gave witness, she gave the Christian witness to the world. I forgive you. Three words. Painful. And when we see that pain, though painful, it always draws us more into an intimate communion with God. Today at Mass, after we have Holy Communion, we are going to enthrone ourselves in our homes, our houses, to the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, this morning was a beautiful morning. The sun was coming out. Up, I was out with my dog. A quiet morning with the Lord, you know, outside, and the beautiful already smells the air, you know, how things are changing. And I thought the historian in me says, how many times at St. John's and at St. Peter's, 200 years, 180 years here, how many times did have these parishes consecrated themselves to the Sacred Heart? Or here in Herz Jesu, or the Kindheit Jesu Verein, the Christ Child Society, Herz Jesu, Sacred Heart. How many times? So when we renew our consecration to the Sacred Heart, and we renew it for our family, so take that prayer with you. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Put it where you use it. And pray that consecration, not only for us as a community, but in your homes as well. How many times years ago when we've gotten out of that? And I think the bishop, in his wisdom, he wants us to renew our love for the Sacred Heart. He wrote that beautiful pastoral letter on the Sacred Heart. And what is for that for you and for me? Sacred Heart is just like the Divine Mercy, the Infant of Prague. All that is the Sacred Heart is God giving his love and his mercy for you and for me. That's all it is, that God wants to give through his Son. Through his Son and through his heart, how can you give mercy and forgiveness? I forgive you. Those three words. How could she do that? Only through the strength and the mercy of her faith in Christ Jesus. So, let's you and I renew our love and our mercy to Christ Jesus. May God bless you.